Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to our service, our Ash Wednesday service, which is what starts our Lenten season. Much to think about through this time. Certainly one is the fasting, the 40 days of fasting that Jesus did in the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. And so we use this season as just to draw closer to the Lord and to his word and his presence and to think upon our Lord and Savior and what he endured on our behalf, how he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. So welcome. We have a special evening. Our high schoolers are having a big part of it. If your high schooler isn't doing anything tonight, they will a month from now when we do this again. They all are going to be singing for us in just a little bit. So thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer, for the beautiful prelude music. Amen. Very nice. Just a couple announcements. Chancel Choir, this is just to remind you, we'll start practices this Sunday right after church to prepare to sing on Monday, Thursday. I believe the Bell Choir is practicing tonight after church, okay? And then cantata, Menno Olivet Community Easter Cantata. Our first practice will be this Friday night at the Olivet Church at 7:30 is that practice. We are the host church this year, so hopefully we have a good turnout of voices to sing. Jennifer will be playing, Martin Sieverding will be directing this year. The rest of the announcements, I will let you read as you have time. Would you please bow your heads in prayer? Kiani Banta is going to have the opening prayer for us.
Heavenly Father, we gather in this sanctuary in the name of Jesus Christ, your name that is above every other name. Thank you for your words that says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." We love you, God, with all our hearts, and we would ask for your glory and your presence to fill this room and to fill our lives with your Spirit. On this evening that we begin the season called Lent, let our hearts and minds be focused only on you and your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray as Moses prayed, "Lord, if your presence does not go with us, then do not send us out from here, for what else will distinguish us, your children, from all the other people on the face of the earth?" We ask you, Heavenly Father, to shine your light brightly through each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
He is here, alleluia. He is here, amen. He is name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same.
The book of Psalms, chapter 122, verse 1, and chapter 96, verses 6, 8, and 9. I was glad when they say unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all earth.
When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth.
Thank you to the high school students and Mick for directing the choir and those last two readings. That was Hallie Van Hove and Logan Schmidt. And thank you, Jennifer, for running back and forth. We're going to sing number 115, and this is out of the Praise Book version of The Wonderful Cross. Of course, the words will be on the screen. Let's stand together, please.
Thorns come close, so bring. By my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him.
Thank you, girls. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. AJ has the red with a shirt. No. Can each have one? You have to put it up. Turn yours on too.
Good evening. How are you guys today? I got a scripture reading for you. Matthew 10:29-30 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered."
Can you guess how many gummies are in this jar? Take a guess.
Yeah, Ivana. Did she was Ivana closest?
Yep. You win the gummies. The answer was 93. Some of you came close, and some of you weren't very close at all.
Wouldn't it be amazing if someone could take one look at this jar and tell you exactly how many gummies are in the jar? That would be pretty amazing, huh? But let me tell you something more amazing than that. The Bible tells us that God knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. Look around the room. Some of us had a lot of hair, and some of us don't have any. It doesn't matter how much or how little hair you have, God knows how many hairs are on each person's head.
The Bible also says that God knows exactly how many birds are in the air, and if one of them dies and falls to the ground, God knows it. If God cares when a little sparrow falls to the ground, can you imagine how much he cares for you? Well, I'll tell you how much God cares for you. He cares for you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that you would have everlasting life. Now that's amazing love.
Now we're going to pray, so bow your heads, fold your hands. Dear Father, we thank you for this children. We thank you for the congregation. And we're thankful that we have a God who knows everything about us and loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We'll sing number 226 from the hymnal. Thank you, Austin and AJ, for doing that. 226, Oh, the Glory of Your Presence. And yeah, Avery, you can come on up. Scripture for us.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you."
Thank you, Avery. Let's bow our heads once more, please. Heavenly Father, we do worship you and bless you. We praise your name. Father, we long for you, for your presence, your manifested presence in our lives. And we know from your word that you never leave us. We know from the catechism question that was read that you are not absent from us for a moment. We know that. And we thank you for it. And yet we also know from your word that there are greater degrees of your manifested presence. And we long for that in our lives each and every day. And Lord, as we look into your word here this evening, these verses, I ask that you would speak to all of our hearts as we enter into this Lenten season, that we draw ever closer to you in our walk with you. And Father, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So this passage in Luke that Avery read to us, chapter 19, that's actually Palm Sunday. If you were aware of that, if you'd read the verses before that, so you might have been thinking, what are we reading that on Ash Wednesday? Well, because we are. that's all I can say about it. As I pray about this night much, and as we worked what with the song for the kids, the youth, sorry, you're not kids, I guess. The presence of the Lord was just kept going over and over in our hearts, and so we came to this. And this in this verse, if we go back a little bit, verse 37, it says this: when Jesus came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. So you know, Palm Sunday, right? And verse 41 has always just been so incredible to me. When it says, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. He wept over it on that day. And why? Why did he weep over it? For different reasons. One was the ignorance of the people of Jerusalem by and large. That they weren't understanding, because verse 44 says, the ending of it, they will not leave one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And that part of that verse too is one that just I think about so much. They didn't have a clue, most of them, what God was doing in their midst. God in the flesh, walking among them, healing the multitudes, feeding the multitudes miraculously, raising the dead, and on, casting out evil spirits. And yet, why is he weeping over that city? Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming, his visitation to you. So in the Old Testament, there's many verses we see. When God visited his people in the Old Testament, it was basically for one or two reasons: judgment or salvation. And there's many examples of that. I'm not going into that tonight, but we certainly see that. And why did Christ come 2,000 years ago? For both reasons. Both reasons. To take the wrath of God upon himself for our sin, the sin of all who had ever lived before him, the sin of all who ever lives after him, but also certainly for salvation is why he came. Yet most of Jerusalem was ignorant. If you think about it like this, that time, the 33 and a half years when Jesus, God in the flesh, walked on this earth, out of all the 6,000-ish years we have had from creation until now, there were 33 and a half years of that time. I should have done the math to get the percent. Didn't think of that till just this moment. That little window of time, God was walking on the planet in Christ Jesus, walking among us, and yet they were oblivious to him, who he was. The Pharisees had missed it totally. Listen to this verse in Luke chapter 12, verse 54 through 56. Jesus said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain.'" Yeah, we sort of say that today, don't we? "And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot.' And it is." He went on to say, "Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" And he was speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day. They were so hardened, so hardened. Yet think of today, the weather predictions. I mean, really, yeah, they miss things, but really, they are can be very accurate much of the time. The temperatures of the day, what's coming. We're truly blessed to know what we know about the weather compared to 100 years ago and before that. And yet, the sign of the time, the world goes on living in the lust of the flesh and all that we see and all that seems to be getting crazier around us with the lusts of the flesh. And yet, we're living in the last days, the last times. And I believe Jesus would say the same thing. How is it to the world, to our nation? How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time? We're right at the door of the rapture of the church. It is the next event we are waiting for. Could happen tonight. Literally, it could. And the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, would be gone off the planet. Wow, isn't that amazing? Let me say this again. Back to Luke 19. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace." He's the Prince of Peace, walking in their midst. He's their answer. And they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. He wept. You know, so there's two times where we see reference of Jesus, that Jesus wept. One is at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus wept. The other time, that's John 11. The other time is here in Luke 19, where he wept over the city. As we read that in English, we just think, okay, yep, same word. Not so. In Greek, two different words, totally. The Greek word, when he wept at Lazarus' tomb, dekruo, something like that, I'm not a Greek scholar. It means to shed tears silently, just silently. We all do that, don't we? I certainly do. One of the recent times when we were at Haiti, and on the last day there, we went up this mountain to where they have a home for the elderly that Mission Haiti does. It's nothing much to look at. There are six elderly people that live in this little bitty house, probably from this platform here, right? That much, I'd say, if that. And we got to go up there. Four men, two women. Oh, talk about full of the joy of the Lord. They were so happy to see us. And then this was us with the group from this Embrace Church out of Sioux Falls. So there was probably 25 of us there. And we each took one of those and just loved on them and had a translator with us. And then the group, our group, sat, there was a guitar player in the midst. And we each were by these elderly people, and then their groups started singing 10,000 Reasons. I was doing the Jesus wept, the silent, the tears were just rolling down my face. Not surprising, huh? This little Haitian grandma was, wow, truly neat, all I can say. And there was the ocean we were overlooking. It was pretty incredible. But when we come to Luke 19:41, that's a different word, kleao. And that means to sob and wail aloud. I mean, he was letting it go. There, what he came to do, his people, he was born into that race of people, yet they could not recognize his presence. They couldn't recognize who he was right in their midst. And he was weeping. Back to Haiti real quick. On our way back to Port-au-Prince that day, we left from Payton. We went about an hour to this bigger town called Kayes. And then it was still another 4.5 hours to Port-au-Prince. But at Kayes, we stopped at a hospital there. Oh. That had to be one of the harder things I've seen and done in my life. I'm telling you, we went into the children's ward. It felt like you went back 100 years at least. The situations were about unbearable to watch, and we split up there too and had an interpreter and prayed for the people. But oh my goodness. As we got though, as we got out of the bus there outside the hospital, there was the voice of a young woman just screaming, wailing as loud as you could ever imagine. And I, you know, you couldn't see her. I was like, is this woman getting beat up? What is happening down that alleyway? And that was sobbing. And come to find out, she had just lost her baby. And was coming out of that hospital. And here, back to Jesus. Because you did not recognize the time of my coming. And I wonder in ourselves, you know, there's times even here where the manifested presence of God is thick. I'll just say it that way. And that is always my prayer, because his presence is incredible. His presence brings me to tears. It literally does. And so, back earlier in Luke chapter 13, here's a time when Jesus was speaking again to Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," 13:34 of Luke, "you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." They weren't. And how sad that is. And I pray that we are never that way. That we always, that our hearts are tender, and as we enter this Lenten season this year, and always, of course, but that our hearts are tender to the moving and leading of the Holy Spirit of God in our midst, in your homes, in your prayer time, as you're driving down the highway, wherever that might be. I have had incredible times over the years driving down the highway to wherever, praying and worshiping the Lord, and his presence just fills that vehicle, and of course I'm crying in a good way, because it is amazing. And that's what he wants to do. But yet he's proclaiming judgment to Israel there. What he said, if you, even you, had only known this day, what would bring you peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. See, the time of judgment had come. The time for them of mercy at that time for Jerusalem to be spared was past. He said, that's why he said, now it is hidden from your eyes. It had passed. And then he goes on and he's prophesying over that city. And he says, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. Jerusalem was a beautiful city at that time. glorious. The temple was magnificent. He says, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And so he's weeping over that city. And he saw it today, 2,000 years later. And what sits where God's temple sat? The temple of a false god sits there. The Muslims have it. And they have a temple there to their false god. The judgment came. This, when Jesus was prophesying this, about 33 AD, right in there, give or take a couple years. In 30 years later, basically, AD 66, the Jews rebel against Rome, who had control. And a couple years later, Rome, the Roman emperor that time, who was named Vespasian, he sends his son Titus, who was the leader of the army, sent them to crush the rebellion. The Roman army came, they attacked Jerusalem, broke through the northern wall, but they still couldn't take the city. And for a year, they hammered that city, attacking, and the Jews fought them off. Finally, in AD 70, they captured the city, killed 600,000 Jews, and burnt it to the ground, knocked every stone over, just what Jesus prophesied 33 years before would happen. It happened. And so Jesus says, if you, even you, had only known on this day, what would bring you peace? He gives the conditions through his word, right? And I know, we know in this congregation, we pray, we have to pray earnestly for our nation. Yes, we are truly blessed. Yes, I do believe this is the greatest nation on the planet today. But you know, you hear me say it, I am gravely concerned where we are headed. And the church needs to stand strong and needs to pray. And look at the youth right here. It's a beautiful sight, isn't it? If they're all here, it's about 30 of them. And you guys and girls are the next generation. And you need to stand strong for Christ. It's beautiful to have them participate, isn't it? Yes, we need to pray. Pray for our nation. It's not about the politics. I'm not talking about that now. It's about God bringing a great awakening to our nation. Confirmation class this year, wow, it's come up often. The whole transgender thing. Most of us adults in here, did we ever have to deal with that in our lives? And now it's a common thing that we're talking about and need to talk about. As parents, I hope you're talking about these things with your kids at home. It is so important to do. His terms are clearly laid out. What brings peace? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 1:11, he came to that which was his own, the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 3:3, to Nicodemus, what's his terms for peace? Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And many more we could find and tell. So, as tonight, we have some other things happening here yet tonight. But let this be our prayer tonight and always, and through this Lenten season, Father, I want to experience more of your presence in my life, in my home, in our family. We ask for that. Let me pray, please. Father, forgive us for times when we do not recognize you're moving in our midst. Lord, forgive us. We long for you. for your goodness, your grace, your presence in this church, in our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing this again, what the high schoolers sang from the balcony, 219 and 220. Let's see, I'll have Grant and Grace, Trinity, Peyton, Alexis, Aiden, Maverick, why don't you just all come up here, the rest of you that will have parts for the remaining service. So 219 and 220. What's going to happen after we sing this is Grant and Grace are going to have some prayers. Jennifer's going to play quietly during that time. I asked her to, okay? So, and we'll go from there.
Holy. You are the Most High God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. We pause at this time to bless and worship your holy name. Surely your presence is in this place, and we can feel your mighty power and your amazing grace. Please forgive us our sins as we humble ourselves before you and confess them to you. As the high school youth group of this local church, we ask for you to forgive us of our sins and to fill us each with your Holy Spirit. We want to live for you and to be used by you in this church, in our school, in our homes, and wherever we go. We ask for you, Lord God, to shine brightly through each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy.
Heavenly Father, thank you for filling this sanctuary with our wonderful presence. You are here, moving us among us by the power of your Spirit, and we will never be the same. Please forgive us, Lord, for times when we do not recognize the working of your Spirit in our midst. Forgive us for being distracted or too busy or not putting you as number one in our lives. Jesus, you have told us in your word that without you, we can do nothing. You have also told us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you for your power and your presence here tonight. We will never be the same. Please help us in this local church to be a life-saving station to this community and far beyond. We ask you for you, Lord God, to shine brightly through each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Father, as we bask in your presence, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for touching each and every life that is seated here in this sanctuary, for ministering your power, your grace, your Spirit to each of our lives, for filling us afresh with your Spirit, for touching bodies that are in need of healing, some that are in the midst of cancer treatments, someone that has an appointment tomorrow, Lord, that is in need of your healing touch, others that maybe we're not even aware of, but that you are, others that need the comfort of your Spirit, others that need guidance, direction in their lives, maybe for new ventures in their lives. Others that need your peace, just your peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. We thank you for this night in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 1 to 5. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. The Book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 6 through 10. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn,
If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast.
I will read from Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, as we prepare to receive our offering this evening. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from the curse of the law. We know that Jesus has paid for all of our sins with his precious blood and has set us free from the tyranny of the devil. And we know that we belong to you in body and soul, in life and in death, and that we are not our own. You have promised that you will never leave us or forsake us. We give these offerings to you with hearts that are filled with thanksgiving and praise, in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be, I think we're singing. Let's see, before you, I stay standing. Thank you, Aiden. 597, take my life and let it be. To all the high school students for helping tonight. Thank you all for coming. Beautiful service. Praise the Lord. So the high schoolers, you guys can make two lines in the social hall so that people can reach you except for the two that are ushering. Okay?